We are back for week three, right? It's you're saying week two, but it's not. It's week three. It's my third week, right? I'm still in my honeymoon phase, right? No. I plan on carrying this all the way out for the rest of the year. Okay, so. It is great to be back in the house of the Lord today. I love seeing everybody come in and just being excited about being here and gathering together. And so, you know, this series that we're talking about in Romans, I've titled it the Regather Series. We missed each other. That's evident. And we wanted to be here. But now that we are regathering together, we're going to be walking through the book of Romans. And we're going to be talking about expectations today. Last week, we talked about communication. We talked about refocusing on what it means to communicate with God, to pray with Him, to lift our thoughts and our needs, our concerns, our desires of our heart to God. We talked about what it means to communicate with others and show them respect and care for one another. We talked about communicating and building teams and working together to advance the gospel of Christ. That's what we're called to do. And when we begin to communicate with God, we begin to not just during that prayer time, but during that meditation time and driving to and from work and enjoying that one-on-one time with God, it helps us advance that cause of talking and sharing with others and communicating as a team and moving forward. Last week, I talked about resumes and references and how we build a resume that is Christ-like and how the only reference that truly matters is that of Jesus Christ and what He says about us. So this week we're going to talk about expectations. Expectations. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. I had almost decided to just skip Romans 2 and go straight to Romans 3. Because, man, Romans 3 is so simple, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 3:23. Man, that was easy. So I had to force myself to go back to Romans 2 and really try and dive in into it. And Romans 2, 6 through 11 is going to be kind of the primary text for us today. And I want to start breaking it down in little sections. And you've got the very first one is 2. 1 through 5. And it's up here on the screen for you if you don't have your Bibles. But Romans 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. I love the way that rings out. How many of you have ever talked to somebody who was a Christian for a while and then they walked away from it? And the number one reason that they give for walking away from their faith, walking away from Christ, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ Himself. It has everything to do with that one little word, hypocrisy. They say, why would I want to go to church when the church is full of hypocrites? You know the old line, there's always room for one more, right? I think what he's saying is that in this text, especially in verse 1, listen, there is no excuse for your hypocrisy. Judging others for actions that you do yourself condemns you. And look at verse 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Those actions. What is he talking about? Against those who practice such things. What things? Now, if you go back to 1:28, verses 1:28 through 32, they speak in the loudest of ways. He's talking about people who are living in a debased mind. They've lost all common sense thinking. They are filled with all manners of unrighteousness. They are filled with evil, covetousness, malice, unrighteousness, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's a huge list. That's huge. And then at the end of that, he says, not only do they do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. That's interesting. Because what Paul says in verse 3 is he says, if you do those things, and do you think this, O man, who judge those practicing such things, and you do the same thing, that you're somehow going to escape the judgment of God? That when you practice these things, just because you call yourself a Christian, that's that hypocrisy that is so prevalent in our world today. And what he's saying is very simple. If you think that you're going to escape that judgment because you think you're better than someone who is practicing those things, who is outside the church, you're fooling yourself. Verses 4 and 5. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. It leads you to that. The very goodness of God leads you. His blessings, his riches, his kindness, that forbearance that he gives, that patience, all of those things should lead us to repentance, to recognizing that, hey, we once were unrighteous. Hey, we once were evil. We once were murderers, strife, full of deceit, maliciousness. We once were, and might still be, gossipers. We were slanderers. We were haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to our parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. We were all of those things, but one thing changed us forever. One single moment in history changed us forever. It is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That changes us. What does the text say later on? It says transforms us. By the renewing of our mind, we find life. It changes us, but it should lead us to repentance. So I want to give you just three simple things here. The very first one is that you are expected to refocus, or believe, if you will, on the gospel and do one thing. Live accordingly. That's what he tells us. He says, you're expected to not do those things at the end of chapter 1. You're expected to do this. You're expected to believe on the gospel. And he says, you must refocus your faith. What's transitioning here in chapter 2 is this disagreement between the Jews and the Gentiles, and the way that they were serving in their community, the way that they believed. The Jews believed it was all about the laws. It was step A through Z, and it had to go in order. The Gentiles didn't think that they had to do all of that stuff, that they could just have this heart for God. And what does Paul do? Paul comes in and says, Jews, you're wrong. Paul comes in and says, Gentiles, you're wrong. It's this. It's this. Look at verse 6. According to his deeds, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Those who practice that patience, those who practice that well-doing, those who practice or seek glory, those who seek God's honor, those who seek immortality in Jesus' name, find it. And what do they find? They find eternal life. Look at verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, they change. Stop right there. Don't go to the next slide just yet. So those who do all of those things, they find that patience. How many of us are patient people? I know you are because you live with me. Okay. I don't think very many of us are patient type of people. I mean, we get upset in the McDonald's drive-thru when it takes more than 30 seconds to get our sweet tea. Oh man, I love me some McDonald's sweet tea. Right? Yeah. Come on. Yes. Yeah. Amen. There we go. Preach. Okay. See, it's this idea that we need it instantaneously. How many of you remember dial-up internet? How many of you still have dial-up internet? Bud? No? Oh, okay. Okay. See, some of you remember that. Some of you remember when AOL first came out and it took forever. My wife still has an AOL account, and she will not get rid of it. That's her email, okay? And she's committed. You still have an AOL?
I still have an AOL email.
See? I'm telling you, some people, you know, they get their minds made up. That's the way it is. Gmail's horrible. It's of the devil. I'm sticking to AOL. Okay? No? Okay. It's just what they're used to. I get it. But here's the reality. I think we sell ourselves short, and I'll be honest, I am one of the least patient people on the planet. I don't know, you might attest to this a little bit more than me, but yeah, I'm a least patient person. I struggle with it, and I have to take a moment and step back and realize what I'm doing and slow down. I will tell you, though, the second one on the list, I love well-doing. I love helping people. I love that part of life, a part of ministry, seeking glory, seeking God's honor, seeking immortality in Jesus' name. I think that helps us find that eternal life. And what he's challenging us to do in verse 6 is very simple. Live accordingly. He says you need to refocus your faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe on the gospel and live accordingly. Accordingly to that lifestyle. Verse 8, he goes on and he says, those who do not seek these things, those who are self-seeking, disobedient to the truth, obeying unrighteousness, they bring on this wrath and fury of God. Is there a second part to 8? No, it just goes 9. Okay, so 9, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. He's saying, look, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or if you're Greek. What he's saying is what matters is Jesus Christ. And if you're not following him, if you're not living accordingly to how Jesus has ordained your life, you're missing out. It doesn't matter how many laws you follow. It doesn't matter how much stuff you believe in your heart. It's all about this one thing. They just could not grasp that concept. And then verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is what? No partiality with God. That's amazing to me. God shows no partiality. If you have glory, honor, and peace, it's for everyone. That's what he's challenging them to do. Find that glory, find the honor, and follow that peace. Secondly, not only should we refocus and believe on the gospel, but he says we are expected to refocus and live our faith in a community. We are a community, right? We are a community, and we care about one another. We want to make sure that you're living your best faith in this community. Dustin and I have spent hours upon hours talking to each other about how to build our faith and partner together and how we move forward and bring us into a community together. That's the key for us. We want to build your faith. We want to connect with you in a very real and powerful way. We want to share the love of Christ, not just in this community, but in the entire community. How are you doing with your faith in your family? Are you sharing that faith within your family? Are you sharing that faith with your children? Are you sharing that faith with your extended family? What about work? Are you living your faith in your work community, in your family community, in your church? Now look at verse 15. Verse 15, they, he's talking about the Gentiles here, show that the work of the Lord is written on their hearts. He's talking about how deeply the Gentiles love him and show the love of Christ. I want to ask you two very simple questions this morning. First, is your heart in it? Is your heart truly in it? And secondly, is your conscience clear? Because that's what he's talking about. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, talking about the Gentiles, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. He's saying, look, the Jews have it figured out when it comes to the heart, or the Gentiles have it figured out when it comes to the heart. That's powerful. So where is your heart? Is it in it today? Is your conscience clear? And then secondly, look at 17 through 21. Indeed, you are called a Jew. Rest on the law and make your boast in God. And 18, and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. The best of both worlds is what they had. The Jews had the best of both worlds. Think about what they... You can go on ahead to 19. Thank you. The Jews had the best of both worlds. They had the law and they had grace. What does he challenge them to do? Look at 19. And you're confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. I love the way that Paul lists that. He says, you are a guide to the blind. What did Jesus say? What did he say? About the blind. The light. See, here's the key. Are you the light in this darkness? He says, we are to be instructors to the foolish, teachers of the children. We are to find and share that knowledge and truth. It's powerful. He says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? Remember last week I talked about how teaching in a smaller group, in a children's class, how much I learned from them. That's what he's talking about. When you teach, you learn. You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? No. And then verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. See, it's an inward and outward faith. It's a matter of the heart, not of the law. That's the power that we have in Jesus. Third, so not only are we to believe and refocus, we're to refocus and live in our faith in a community, we are expected to refocus, to grow the faith of others in your community. You are required to share your faith with others around you. Now, that might be a cup of cold water sometimes. That might be a meal. That might be, you know, saying, hey, you might want to think about living your life in a different way. There's all of these things. So now, look at 3:23, because we're going to push forward. You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. So he's challenging them. Now, look at the beginning of that in 23. For there is no distinction in 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 25. Whom God put forward as propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Let me break this down for you very simply. All have sinned. All fall short. We are all justified by his grace. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we have life everlasting. That is it. It is only through Jesus. Paul calls him a propitiation, a substitute for sin. He says, only through his blood do we receive the very faith that we have. But here's the key to all of this. You might refocus and believe. You might refocus and live. You might refocus and grow your faith and your community. And all of those things are great. But look at 27. Because this is the key. He says, then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded by what kind of law? By a law of works? And this is it. You might want to underline this, circle it, highlight it. It says, no, but by the law of faith. What is Paul saying there? It seems like a whole bunch of stuff. Paul is simply saying this, works won't cut it. Coming to church won't cut it. Giving the most in the offering plate won't cut it. Doing the most in teaching in Sunday school, doing all of this stuff, paying for the buildings, paying for the grounds, all of that won't cut it in your faith. That's why I've said over and over and over again, Jesus doesn't care how much money you have. Jesus doesn't care how much time you think you have. What Jesus cares about is your heart. What Jesus cares about is the law of faith. So where is your heart today? Are you at that point where you need to find that way to refocus and believe the very gospel of Christ? Are you at that point where you need to refocus and live accordingly to the gospel of Christ? Are you at that point maybe where you want to grow a little bit more in your faith and find a way for your faith to develop and build within this community? See, if you look at all three of those, to believe is about you and your heart. Where do you stand with Jesus Christ? How do you stand with him? As we wrap up this morning, I want you to understand those three terms, believe, live, and grow, are important to us as we move forward. Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Is he your Lord and Savior today? Because if he's not, today is the day for you to make that change in your life. Maybe it's about living. Maybe you've lived your life a certain way for so long, and it's time for you to maybe rededicate your life and live accordingly to God's plan in your life. That's what it's about for you. Maybe you're here today and say, you know what? I know Christ expects me to grow. I need to refocus my faith on a community. And I'm going to place membership here today because of a community that loves me so much, that wants me to grow and find faith. Maybe that's what it's about for you. Whatever that need is, as we have this time of invitation, I want to encourage you to simply move forward in your life. We're going to have a little bit of music that's played in the background, and we're going to have an opportunity for you to simply come and rededicate your life. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to, for the very first time, reach out in faith and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to simply say, you know what, God, I've been coming here. I love this church. This church loves me. And we're going to grow this faith together. And we're going to move forward. We're not going to look back anymore on the past of what has happened. We're letting go of the past. See, I think that's one of the elements that Paul talks to them about, is letting go of all of the stuff, all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of those things that he listed at the end of chapter 1. I think that's what he's challenging us to do as a church, as individuals. And our faith can only grow when we lay those things down at the foot of the cross. We're moving forward into a new day. We are changing and challenging our world as we regather together. See, that's our prayer. That by the very power of Jesus Christ, he changes us. We grow, we live in a faith community, and we use that faith to change the lives of others around us. I can tell you this, you've already grown my faith exponentially. You've already challenged me to grow beyond where I am and move forward just in the short 3 weeks that I've been here. You're challenging me. And I hope and pray that Dustin and I and our elders and deacons come together and challenge you to move forward in your faith. Because that's the only thing at the end of the day that will matter. It's not how much you know. It's about who you know. Do you know Jesus today? Are you ready to give your life to him? Are you ready to rededicate your life? Are you ready to place membership in the very body of Christ? If you are, let's stand together. We're going to have a prayer. And once you come forward during this prayer, if you need prayer, I'll be here to pray with you. If you need prayer, one of the elders will see you. And as you come down, they'll pray with you. Whatever your need is, won't you come today? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the example of Jesus that shows us that it's not about how much of the law we know and how much of the law we work within from A to Z. It's not even how much of all of the other stuff that we have. It's simply about one singular thing. It is truly about Jesus Christ and his love for us, his love for the world. There's just something about that name, Jesus. Today, Father, we ask that you come into our lives, you change us, you unite us as the very body of Christ. We ask that if there's something within us that needs to be changed, pushed away, that you would lead us down to that repentance moment where we turn completely away from those things. If there is something in our life that is drawing us to this church body, that you would enable us just to give our lives in community together. we might live and refocus through this regathering opportunity. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. It comes through only knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. It's in his name we pray.